where's his Sunday best? Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up and
the Jay Garvin's Home and Mortgage Talk Show, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11, here on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM and 1240 a.m. Now here is your host, Jay Garvin's.
This segment is brought to you by Empire Title, Bill McAfee, your best of the best Colorado Springs gold winner. Welcome to the Jay Garvin Show, Home and Mortgage Talk Show. I am your friend and host, Jay, and every single week we bring a viable and relatable conversation to you right here on our KRDO radio show and also replay on podcasts on any one of your platforms. You can get a hold of me directly at 719-330-1457. You can also visit churchillcolorado.com. I am a licensed loan originator with Churchill Mortgage, a privately owned by team member mortgage company. We are not a broker. We are not a servicer. We are a full service mortgage lending corporation. I'd love to earn your business on your next purchase or refinance transaction. A majority of the transactions right now are for purchases, but we do occasionally see a refinance to help you. Individuals going from 30-year mortgages to 15-year mortgages, individuals going from all-in-one mortgage arms, variable loans to fixed loans, and then occasionally we have cash-out refinances. All of them are fully serviced and available to you through Churchill Mortgage. One of my favorite conversations, if not the most favorite conversation that I have on this radio, is home ownership. And today I have a conversation to show you how much of this home ownership that I participate in, you participate in. Statistically, 65% of Americans participate. If you're listening to this conversation right now, there is an 85% chance that you are a homeowner. And folks, we drive the economy. Today, without further ado, the drum roll, Matt. Home ownership economy is the conversation of today. And last week, and in several last week, through conversations on the radio show, I have referenced the GDP in America, or the gross domestic product and all of its components. And today I want to depict with you the virtual fact that we have a home ownership economy here in the United States. So I'm going to have a conversation in four separate segments. I've got Brad Ward, the owner of CoCreate, coming in the third segment. It is a crucial part as a licensed contractor what Brad does with his company in participating in this home ownership economy. But what I'd like to do today over the four conversations, four segments, is first of all, review. What exactly is the GDP and the breakdown here in the United States? The gross domestic product is basically a four-quadrant breakdown of what composes our economy. I want to go through that component by component, articulate the housing sector domination throughout the GDP. Secondly, I want to talk about how homeownership has changed over the last 5 and 10 years, whether it's been positive or a negative trend, how that's been affected by inflation. And then number three, I want to go through some of the legislation and components locally, statewide, and nationally to encourage the affordability and the growth of home ownership and what's been done to facilitate that. And then finally, the most important segment is always the final segment of what is your next step. How can you participate in a statistical domination of home ownership in the United States for yourself, your family, and your future? See, not all economies are home ownership driven. It's very, very clear in communistic countries like Russia or China and all of the subsidiary communistic countries out there, from Vietnam to Cuba and everything in between. Because within a communistic government, the housing is provided for you. You can picture in your mind's eye the concrete 15-story apartments and barracks that individuals live in throughout Russia, Siberia, Moscow, all different areas, China the same, and how United States, and for the most part, a very general reference to Europe and other democracies and republics around the world. Now, also within that United States, in a home ownership driven economy, what are the actual components that go into it, and what sector of the gross domestic product do they fall in? So the ultimate goal in this conversation for you, I'm already a perpetual homeowner. I've had shows before stating that 63 to 69% of Americans own a home, and this has been to a large degree a major part of our economy since the launch of our country in 1776, and actually hundreds of years before, like you have New York City that's been around since the 1640s, how home ownership has played a role in the birth and the growth of our country. From the very beginning of the launch of the United States, more than 40% of Americans, almost half from the onset, were homeowners. And you wonder how immigrants afforded this. Anything within the colonies and beyond with westward expansion was basically have a plot of land, buy a plot of land, chop down wood and build your log home, eventually your stick-built mill-cut farmhouses, eventually metropolitan areas when we switched from an agricultural economy to an industrial economy, and the growth there and beyond. But the GDP, the gross domestic product, captures this. And the GDP is broken down in four separate sectors. I believe they originally were meant for four equal quadrants of public and private consumption is one quadrant or component. Investment from business, that's the second quadrant. Government expenditures, that's the third quadrant. And what I call the forgotten quadrant, especially in the last 40 years, is net exports. Those four components make up the gross domestic product. Now, over time, those components grew and changed in structure, stature, and percent of our economy. What I'm going to be talking about is there's no such thing as a 25% equal cut quadrant of the gross domestic product. You have consumer spending, and that is both government and private sector, that has become over 70% of our economy. Then you have business investment and government spending that are equal at about 18% respectively of our economy. And then you have net exports, which used to be an enormous sector beyond 25% of the GDP, which is now basically 4% of the economy. And that's imports, exports, the difference to the positive. And we're going to discuss all of these items, specifically consumer spending and home ownership. So don't go anywhere. It's going to be a great conversation to bring a lot of light and knowledge to how our economy is put together and how housing plays a part of that. Call me during the break to start your next home purchase so you can participate more actively in the GDP. 719-330-1457. Call me personally, Jay Garvin's, with Churchill Mortgage for your next purchase or refinance transaction. Right here on the Jay Garvin Show.
Our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our street.
Now I'm not talking about excessive greed, the kind that puzzle the scribes and Pharisees. I don't worship it like a golden calf, but Jay.
The Jay Garvin's Home and Mortgage Talk Show, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11, here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM and 1240 AM. We're back with your home mortgage best friend, Jay Garvin.
This segment brought to you by Texas Roadhouse. Legendary food, legendary service, located on 8th Street next to Walmart.
Hey, where's the meat?
A little spending money. Money to burn, money that you did not necessarily earn. Rainy days seem to wind up the same, long as you got a little spending money. money.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in all day today, the next hour, I'm having a conversation about our homeownership economy in the United States. We have a consumer-driven economy, which is led by majority of home ownership. And I want to talk about the breakdown of the gross domestic product and the housing sector domination. I'm also going to talk about how this has been affected over the last 10 years, specifically the last 5 years, with inflation and the trending of home ownership versus renting in the United States. And then, of course, I'm going to finish the conversation with a good friend and partner of mine, Brad Ward, with CoCreate, how you can participate in improving your home, improving the value in capital gains of the worth of your house, and then also how you can take the most return on investment with any given improvement that you do. And finally, we will talk about what is the next step for you, what is the next step for your adult child, daughter, son to participate in this. Individuals like Mary, individuals like Susan, like Peter, and everybody else that has referred their adult children to trust me to walk individuals through the home purchase financing aspect of home ownership, also to get referrals for the best and most educated and experienced real estate agents that lead the team of home ownership. Have amazing partnership on this show with Mark Salas from Best Realty, an amazing partnership with Lauren Collier and Dave Ramsey. She's an endorsed local provider. Very, very honored that Dave Ramsey personally endorses me to walk people through the purchase process. And that starts with you getting a certified approval with Churchill Mortgage, gives you an incredible advantage over any of your peers or competition in the real estate market. But talking about the gross domestic product and the breakdown of consumer spending, business investment, government spending, and net exports, it's absolutely mind-blowing how much our economy is dominated through home ownership. And what does that include? First, the breakdown of over 500 components going into consumer and government spending. The general breakdown is this. This is over 70% of our economy, followed by business investment, which is like 18%, government spending, which is also approximately 18%, and then our net exports, which really accounts for 4% or less. Of that 70% component of consumer spending, both government and private spending, 24%, almost one-fourth of that entire dominant 70% of the gross domestic product is on housing alone. You then have about 14.5% in healthcare. Then you have another 12% in food. You have about another 10.8% in transportation related spending, 7% in education. Just helping my children through college, it seems much larger than 7% of my consuming budget, but I digress. You have about another 7% in recreation, and then there is a catch-all for hundreds of different categories in the other category, which is another 24%. So in housing alone, you have one-fourth of our entire consumer spending in the economy, which is more than two-thirds of the economy itself, with 70% in consumer spending, both government and private sector. The bottom line is this, is that when you look at the different share of housing consumer spending, it's not black and white, but you have the housing role of the GDP, and in that portion of it, there's the consumer consumption expenditures, or they call it the PCE, which is the largest part of the gross domestic product, and it really is in residential investment and housing services, period. That's where housing comprises. The first and largest portion of that actually is housing services, and that incorporates all of the money that Americans are spending in gross rents and then also in home expenditure, making your rental payments. Now, that's from property managers. It's also from individual private property owners that are investment, like my wife and I. It's absolutely amazing. This has been around forever. If you do the history of some of our founding fathers, like Benjamin Franklin, with all of the diplomatic things he did, all of the invention of different categories he did, he also was a large investment property owner in the original 13 colonies. Specifically, I don't want to get into that throughout Boston and so forth, but investment property ownership and home ownership has been one of the foundational pillars of our entire economy. Even before there was expansion and mass home building, over 40% of all Americans from the point of immigration have been homeowners. So the breakdown is this. If you have the residential investment, including construction of new single-family and multifamily homes, remodeling of homes, and also the creation of manufactured homes in production facilities, forget the category. That alone is over 3 to 5% of the GDP alone. Now, of course, that includes the fees that brokers get in selling and buying homes. That doesn't even include the entire salaries that I get in the mortgage industry. That falls in the finance sector. But the largest single portion of housing within the GDP is housing services, and that's the gross rent paid by renters. And it's absolutely phenomenal when I talk to people like you. If you're listening right now and you're like, I have an adult child that would really love to buy, but they can't afford to purchase. Interest rates are too high. And what I will say to that, what you've heard Dave Ramsey say to that is, yeah, it sucks if rates are 6% right now. The lame response is, well, over the last 50-year average, 6% is a good interest rate. That's hard to swallow when we had 3% interest rates less than 4 years ago. But here's the reality. What no one talks about is that the rent payment that you're paying, if you're listening to this, especially if you're a veteran and you can buy a house for no money down, if you have adult children and you're listening to this, the interest that they pay on their rental payment is 100% interest. You get a nice warm place to live, or hopefully it's warm, but you flush that money down the toilet every single month and you never get it back, and rental rates have always exceeded every year the housing expense rates and their increase. So when I started buying houses in 2012, we were getting $1,100 a month for rent, and I was all excited about the prospects of going to $1,400 with the 15-year goal back in 2012 that I would eventually be at $2,000 a month in rent when I have no mortgage. That's a lot of residual income. If I have three houses and own them outright, have $2,000 a month for rent times three houses, that's $6,000 a month of gross rent, gross revenue to me, $72,000 a year. Over my retirement years from 60 to 80 years old, I was excited about the prospect of getting $72,000 a year times 10 years. That's $720,000, or over 20 years, that's $1.5 million in rent. But the reality is that's not the case. The first house that I bought in 2012 is now renting for $2,475 or $2,500 a month. So our inflation, cost of living, and requirement for rent has increased dramatically beyond the estimates that even I did 15 years ago or 14 years ago from 2012 to 2026. So gross rents alone are a big part of the housing expense. Now, the housing consumer expense, the PCE, which is the personal consumption expenditures, that, my friends, is over 13% of the gross domestic product in its entirety. See, housing from production to expense and so forth is 24% of a consumer consumption portion, which is already 70% of the economy. Now, housing services, which is part of this as well, is the rental equivalency to the owner-occupied housing. And then finally, if you look at some of these statistics, which is just incredible, breaking it down even further to the different components of the gross domestic product within the consumption portion, that's 25%, 24%, or a quarter of that consumption across the entire country. Over half of that is just in housing, including rent and housing services. If you look within that as well, you have durable goods within those services of housing, and it's all of the appliances, all of the furniture, and all of the electronics that go into it. Even if you go into the business investment quadrant of the GDP, that's where you get all of the residential construction. So even though consumer consumption is a huge part of the GDP at 70% and business investment is only 18%, a lion's share of the business investment comes in new residential construction. All these developer neighborhoods you see all over the Pikes Peak region, all over our state, and all over the country is just a obvious depiction of how large the housing expense is. Now, I'm not even going to get into government expenditures, which has the entire infrastructures of roads and bridges that get out to the neighborhoods like Banning Lewis and every other example here in the country. So there's absolutely no doubt at all, with no close second in comparison, not in health care, not in defense spending, not in government municipal spending with city, state, and federal jobs. All of that is exceeded by the simple fact, as Americans, we own houses and we live in houses that other people own. I want to share with you the details of how you can prepare yourself and benefit from this as a homeowner, and what legislation is being put in place to help you succeed in home ownership. Don't go anywhere. Call me during the break at 719-330-1457 to start your housing journey. First, with a Churchill-approved mortgage, 719-330-1457. I'll be back after these important messages.
Long as you got a little spending money. Oh, give me some spending money.
The Jay Garvin's Home and Mortgage Talk Show, Saturdays at 8 a.m., Sundays at 11, here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM and 1240 a.m. We're back with your home mortgage Jedi, Jay Garvin's.
This segment is sponsored by Best Realty and Mark Solis.
Housekeeping?
Come on. If you make sure you're connected, the writing's on the wall. But if your mind's neglected, stumble, you might fall.
Housekeeping.
Well, thank you for sticking around during the home ownership economy conversation of how consumer consumption is 25% of the breakdown, but 70% of the overall volume of the GDP in America. But within the consumer consumption portion, housing is over 24%, call it 25% of all consumption, and that breaks down to people paying rent in the housing services, the homeowners portion of that in paying mortgages. That includes household utilities, water, sanitation, electricity, gas. But then the next component, folks, is residential investment, or RFI, where you have new home construction, multifamily homes, and then remodeling of the house that you have is the largest growing component of the housing expense and consumer financing and investment right now. And I've got Brad in here to talk about that. Does it feel like people are spending more time looking to remodel their homes than going out and buying new ones from your perspective, Brad?
Yeah, I can see a trend. Yeah, people are doing more remodeling than buying.
It's just too expensive to buy proportionally for what they're used to. When you have 3% rates in 2021 and 6% rates now, even though they're disproportionately on average with what rates have been the last 25 years, right now people are saying, I'd rather remodel than go ahead and upgrade and buy a new one.
Yeah, correct. That's what we're doing a lot of.
And you just shared with me where someone did an entire elevation transformation of the front of the house. New entrance, new exteriors, like you said, new irrigation, new landscaping, new stamped concrete path, all of that.
Yeah, we just did a full interior remodel and exterior. So stucco, roof, new front porch, irrigation, plants, walkways, stamped concrete. So changed the whole look of the house.
At the top of your head, how many subcontractors did you have there? Six? A dozen?
More than 12, probably.
More than 12. So 12 different businesses
at least, yeah,
brought in their services, and you basically were the orchestrator of the entire process.
Yeah, we did the design, and then, yeah, I managed it.
And that's just amazing. You and I looked at that, and that's probably a 30% plus appreciation in the marketability of that house. We're not going to get into it this this is not the show, but if you look at all the different return on investment for improvements, the top three are in the exterior. The stucco, the faux brick, what your front entrance and door looks like, what's your landscaping look like, and then when they have a garage, what does that garage entrance look like? And with you, this is not something you put together in a couple days and finish up in a couple weeks. This is months and months to do this.
Yeah, from start of conception, 7 months to finish.
That's just amazing. And at the end, the clients, the borrowers, the consumers loved you just as much as the end as they did the beginning, didn't they?
I hope so. They acted like it.
They acted like it. And are you doing a lot of that? One more thing I want to talk about that people don't accentuate enough is the way that you utilize square footage. Like when someone has a concrete patio beaten down with light and you can go outside, you do so many covers, both separate from the house and also attached. I mean, that increases the usable square footage on that property.
Yeah, even on that house, we had awnings on the roof. We put them on the roof so it could go to the patio 12 feet, 15 feet.
Wow, so now you can go out your front door, use that as a sitting space, look at the beautiful work you've done, the street and the neighborhood alike.
And go out back and sit on your stamped concrete with a patio cover that retracts onto your roof.
And you've done that with decks where you've done covered decks, where you've just expanded a desk from a little chicken coop desk to, you know, a deck that's 12 feet by 10 feet. I see people doing that a lot in Colorado when they've got access to mountain views, but whole different thing when you're doing that from an elevated second story deck as opposed to looking out the bedroom window.
Yeah, I've done anything from pergolas to steel to actual roof covers, so there's a lot of options for outdoor living.
And that return on investment, if you're listening, is dramatic. And what that means is if you spend $100,000 on a renovation on the front of your house with the entrance, forget the landscaping and everything else, you're going to get $100,000 back in the marketability of that house.
Yeah.
You replace windows, you upgrade your furnace or your air conditioner, that will sustain your value. But if you do a viewing deck, especially if it's looking over the mountains, a golf course, a park, an elementary school, something like that, that'll have a tangible value of $10,000 to $200,000 on the appraisal. It's why houses on golf courses are more valuable than ones facing an alley.
Yeah, I look at all these things as an investment. I mean, you can enjoy them, and then they're still worth the same as you put into them 15 years down the road, if not double that by then.
Now, that's huge. Brad is pretty soft-spoken, but what he said is just transformational. You can put your money into a brand-new car and watch that depreciating asset get depleted over the years, and you've enjoyed the vehicle, but at the end of its life, it's a fraction of the value of when you purchased it. As opposed to doing a covered deck, doing the front renovation, you not only get the return on investment right away, but then it helps dramatically with the appreciation of your house rather than depreciation. And more than this, with inflation, Brad, which I'm going to talk about in the last segment of the show.
Yeah, I mean, the way it's going, it's probably take you 5 to 10 years and you're probably doubled your money back.
Absolutely. And then you don't have the headache of the additional regulation, cost, and expense.
And you get to enjoy it the whole time.
The whole time. And that's why I tell people, if you're going to buy a house, put the top investment at the front end and enjoy it.
Exactly. Especially here.
Why have a trashed out car and get it cleaned the last week before you
trade it in
when you can just wash it and clean it up front, get the most out of your house, and get that return on investment? Have you been doing more of the exterior projects or more of the interior projects this last 6 months?
It's been about a good mix of both. I mean,
about 50-50 of renovating square footage inside and doing the exterior, because the exterior brings more return on investment. Unless you haven't done any complete unfinished to finished basements, have you?
Not complete, no. Just added bathrooms, added stuff like that.
Yeah, where there's a partial complete basement and you expand to it, because that's the biggest. If you take a 1,500 square foot unusable basement and put it into usable square footage, especially if it's a garden view or a walkout, that's well beyond 100% ROI.
Yeah, the ones I've been doing have been walkouts where we've added a bathroom or bedroom and bathroom to get, so you're using the same space you have. You're just increasing your value.
Increasing your value. And that one that you showed me, I mean, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you, my friend?
My cell is 719-644-2508.
And you start at the architectural phase where you get architectural renderings, to look at that project you just finished of a full gable on the front entrance and all of that work, coordinating over a dozen contractors is worth its weight in gold.
Yeah, we start from conceptual. I mean, we sit down with you with your ideas and we start with the design there.
Yeah, especially if you live in an infill development, you're at the Old North End, you're down in Ivy Wild, you're over by Powers and Old Farm, and everywhere in between Rock Rim and Briar Gate, all of that. You can do an amazing transformation, and you get an individual like you, and it's really not that difficult. It's step by step, phase by phase.
Yeah, no, I think that's what makes it great about us is, you know, we helped you design it, and we want to help you make it come true.
And it's very, very rare that you get somebody that takes it from the beginning to end. So share your name and number one more time, my friend.
It's Brad Ward, and it's 719-644-2508.
And he will help you co-create any invention involving your house.
The harder, the better.
You're, what do you call that, a masochist? You like the harder the better, give me pain and I'll give you glory?
I'm a glutton.
So, folks, don't underestimate the importance of a really good contractor. Brad is an individual so trustworthy you'll want to be able to share your key to the house with him. Call him today.
719-644-2508.
Don't go anywhere. I'm going to finish up the conversation of the housing economy that we live in and how it can transform your life when you participate. You're listening to The Jay Garvin Show. Call during the break, 719-330-1457. Back after these important messages.
I'm going to get myself, I'm going to get myself.
The Jay Garvin's Home and Mortgage Talk Show, Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 11, here on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM and 1240 AM. We're back. Here's Jay Garvin's.
We want to pop you up.
You can come on.
Well, thanks for sticking with me. I am Jay. I'm finishing up the conversation here about home ownership economy in United States of America. You're going to want to tune in next week as I have the America 250 show celebrating. Thank you for those fireworks there, Matt. I appreciate that. Celebrating America 250 next week. But right now, we've talked about the GDP, the gross domestic product. We've talked about the four quadrants that are in discussion between the actual consumer spending, business investment, government spending, and net exports. You can picture in your mind's eye George W. Bush standing on the rubble of the Twin Towers when he says, you know, Americans have confidence. You can help by going out and spending your money. All of the politicians over the last quarter of a century, going from after Ronald Reagan through Donald Trump, accentuated consumer spending, manufacturing moved off America's heartland and rust belt overseas. Consumer spending now incorporates more than 70% of our GDP, where 18% is subdivided in business investment and government spending, respectively. Housing is more than 25%, 24.6% of consumer spending, and within business investment is a huge quadrant of new construction homes. If you go down even further, you can see everything from appliances to furniture to utilities, all of that go into the homeownership economy and has a lion's share, even superseding all the business investment with iPhones and Google and Lime scooters and everything in between. Think of how large government spending is with all of the local jobs, the state jobs, and the federal jobs. Housing exceeds all of that. But we have experienced inflation over the last 5 years that has been virtually crushing all portions of the housing sector. In fact, for the first time in 25 years, we've got 40 years is the median age now for the first-time home buyer because of expense. Just 5 years ago, that median age was 34 years old. 15 years ago, back in 2010, right after the Great Recession, it was 26 years old when affordability was just amazing in 2010, 11, and 12. People not jumping on the bandwagon because Gen Xers and the leading-edge millennials didn't have consumer confidence to go into the housing industry has slowed the portion that housing encompasses within our economy. So what has been done to improve that? And what's been done, folks, is this incredible major housing bill that just passed the Senate and the House in a sweeping majority with a 358-32 vote in the House. This is the most bipartisan vote that's happened in more than a decade, both Republicans and Democrats alike, that have said, hey, we're going to focus on 3 to 5 different components in making homeownership more affordable. A bill that streamlines the environmental reviews of new housing construction. The second part is raising income eligibility for the home investment partnership so people can get approved faster and have increased eligibility. You have the affordable housing construction eligibility programs within the community, which means federal dollars can come in to streamline developers to make housing more affordable if development has less bureaucratic roadblocks and becomes more affordable, then that's passed down to the consumer. And then, of course, you have the incentivization of local communities to reform their zoning laws to allow more home building. All of these different components are a crucial part of making homes more affordable. Now, not next week, but the following week, I am going to have Homeownership Economy Part 2, and I'm going to get into other components. In getting approved and affording a house, there's only three things. What's your credit profile? What's your job or your capacity to earn? And what's your collateral or your down payment? So making the house more affordable is one thing in your down payment and the expense of the house. But your capacity to earn is also a large part of this, which I'm going to cover in 2 weeks, about how wages are on the increase, especially private sector wages. Not government, but private sector wages. There was just a breakthrough this last full reporting month of May where almost 100,000 private sector jobs were created, more than double than they predicted, and we're going to see more and more of this. But in the last couple minutes, what you can do now to take advantage of this homeownership economy in the United States is to call me at 719-330-1457. I will give you a 30-minute consultation for free of exactly what the Congressional Housing Bill includes and how you can personally take advantage of it. Number two, you can actually take advantage of the timing in the market right now with the Memorandum of Understanding with Iran. The interest rates are falling again. Oil prices and inflation are falling again. And the time to start your homeownership journey for you or your adult children, your neighbor, your relative. If you're listening and you're a homeowner in your car, you know my voice. Hey, I know Jay Garvin's, but the people that you know, especially your adult children, 22, 32, 42, do not know. And knowledge is power, and I can sit down with you or those individuals and have a complimentary 30-minute consultation about how you can take advantage right now. In 2027, it's not going to be the time to come into the housing market because there's going to be higher demand and the prices will go up again. Right now, they've been flat. They've been even below a half a million for a median home. I have 20 and 30 year old kids getting houses from $310,000 to $360,000 all day long because you marry your house, but you date your rate. Then when rates go down, they've done the heavy lifting and already own a home. You change that mortgage interest rate, and now you have a great house that's increasing in value and a monthly payment that's decreasing. That's the formula for success in a homeownership economy. Call me at 719-330-1457. And like I stated at the end of every show, go grow and prosper. Tell someone close to you that you love them, because that's all that matters in the end. Not the house, not the mortgage, just your legacy of love with your family members and the memories that you have. Call me this week, 719-330-1457, so I can help you and all your families prosper through home ownership. You've been listening to The Jay Garvin Show.
If you want it, here it is. Come and get it. Make your mind up.
KRDO News Radio does not confirm or deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained in this program. And the views expressed do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff or management of KRDO News Radio.
Yeah, yeah.